love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday edition of the Yard, the magnificent Monday edition of the Yard. Hope that you're well today. Hope you had a good weekend. I did. I had a good weekend, and I know you're concerned about that, but I did. I had a good weekend. Not a ton of media availability this weekend, but we did speak with Jeff Levy. We're going to talk about that in our first segment of the show. Got a great top 10 list for you today by request. We'll talk a little bit about the AP poll, a few other things. It's getting closer. 20 days away. Is that right? 20 days? 19 days away from college football season for Mississippi State. We'll have some football jamborees like this weekend in certain parts of the Southeast. And we'll get underway soon. Now, next weekend, I'm going to be on the road going to see one of our Mississippi State commitments. I think I tried. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Yeah, no, it's next week. Yeah, a week from this Friday, I will be going to see one of our Bulldog commitments. And we'll get some film for you, get some pictures. We'll make a big thing of it. You know, we'll get on the road and come back. Try to knock out as many of these out-of-state guys as we can. We've got to make it work with the Mississippi State schedule because Mississippi State comes first. This coming Friday, I will be in Jackson, Mississippi at Hallamau's to go support our friends, Storage 24. The homie Fred, you guys know him from Twitter, is the front man for the band Storage 24. And Matt, the bass player in Storage 24, are going to be working with me and Eric Luttrell and a few others, Ryan Purser and others, on the 988 Suicide Prevention Music Project. Eric and I are going to work on some other stuff, too. He's kind of talked me into that. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But if you're looking for something to do Friday night, come out to Hallamau's, one of Mississippi's historic music venues. So many great people have played there. Storage 24 will be in the Red Room, and you just never know what could happen. It's anything could happen Friday. You never know what could happen. But, yeah, so we're going to be checking that out. And they're also, too, they're going to have, like, $25, like, flash tattoos. And all proceeds go to the Mississippi Coalition Against Domestic Violence. So not only is it a great show with the Mississippi band fronted by a Mississippi State Bulldog, it's for a great cause. So if you need to make some plans, or you're just thinking, I haven't heard live music in a while, come out. And hang with us at Hallamau's. Man, I've been there so many times. I've been there so many times. And there have been so many times that I've had such a great time there. You know, it wasn't too long ago, my buddies Faster Pussycat and Enough's Enough played there, too. And I didn't know Chibs Enough before then. But, yeah, so come out. Great place. You can get a meal there before the show. Let me give you some details, too, just so you guys know. Let's see. I'm trying to see here if I can get the bill here. We'll see what we can do here. But let's see if I can get it going here. There's always something, right? There's always something. Let's see. Beneath the Kudzu, Face Rod, and Shangri-La are going to open too. So, yeah. So, four bands for just $7. And, of course, the headliner, Storage 24. Should be a great night. It'll make for a late night drive back to Starkville. Well, that's okay. So we do. But yeah, come out and support us, and support the coalition against domestic violence. Nobody's a fan of that, right? Ever. And so again, if you want to, you can get a flash tattoo, $25, and all the proceeds go to help people that are dealing with that aspect of negative aspect of life. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company because you know why? It just takes the guesswork out of meal planning, right? It really does. You just go sit down, put your feet under their table, order the spring rolls as part of your beauty care regimen. Find a great restaurant quality hamburger, one that fits your craving of the day. Or get that BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may prefer it fried. It's up to you. I'm not judging. And maybe you're not feeling a burger. Yeah, maybe get those Sloppy Joe sliders. There's a lot to choose from there. There is. I like the wings there. I think, as the kids say, they're a little low-key good, right? You don't think about Bulldog Burger Company when you think about wings, but maybe you should. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get a chocolate shake to go. That's a great, great idea for dessert, right? Because sometimes you're just kind of ready to go, but you need a palate cleanser. Well, get that chocolate shake to go. And even if you don't finish it on the way home, you can put it in the fridge and top it off later. You live your life how you choose. But Bulldog Burger Company needs to be a big part of your life. Be sure and check them out next time you're in town or on the way to town. All right, let's take a quick look back at some of the things Jeff Levy had to say. The first thing that I'll say, and I shared some of this on Bo Bounds' show this morning. Last year, I think, we're caught up in the exuberance of being a head coach, and these are our players, this is our staff, and there's a great sense of pride with that, and there should be. But I think sometimes a little irrational exuberance accompanies that, and maybe you see some things just because it's yours, like your own children. You can't be objective about your own kids. You can't be. And so I think some of that kind of translates over to being a head coach for the first time. These are my guys, right? And you don't want to say anything negative about your guys because your guys chose you or chose to stay with you. I think this year, not that Levy's beating people up, I think he's done well in the press conferences so far. And I think that's an important aspect of things. I mean, you guys want some access. You want to know what to expect, right? The truth of the matter is we don't even know what we have, much less what anybody else has. But I thought Levy good last night, and I got a few comments about some of the things he had to say. Let's jump in it. I opened up, I asked him about health, right? I mean, we see guys around the complex, right? I mean, you see guys, overwhelming majority seem fine. Occasionally you'll see a guy, with a wrap on, or maybe a guy even on crutches, but a lot of that's precautionary. You see guys walking around campus in boots and people freak out. So I gave Lev a chance to address that. Here was his answer to me. We're healthy. That's a great thing. 9 days into camp, our guys are taken to the culture of recovery and finding time to do everything they can to get themselves ready for the next day's practice. The growth in that has been fun to see. The retention piece, installs have been heavy. We put a lot on them. We want to create some stress for them and see how they respond. As you can imagine, there's been some good and some not so good. A ton to clean up, a ton of work to do, but our guys are dialed into getting better. End of quote. I believe those things to be true. And, one of the groups too, and Levy eventually got to that, like the offensive line, it's like it's a much different deal because we didn't get the bulk of these newcomers in January. And so they're honestly, they're still kind of running around with their, like chickens with their head cuts off. They're still trying to figure it out, right? That's what fall camp is for. Now, they've had the benefit of summer and summer workouts and things of that nature and summer meetings, so they're not just flying blind. But offensive line play is like putting together like a barbershop quartet, right? Everybody has to learn their role. Everybody has to know their part. And you got to get out there as a unit and kind of figure each other out. And so it's not like being a wide receiver where you go out there, you run your route, you make your side adjustment, things of that nature. It's really, that's kind of a self-contained responsibility. when you are on an offensive line, you've got to have five guys kind of moving as one, right, as one unit. And it takes a lot of reps to get there. That's, to me, that's the biggest challenge on offense. I feel great about the running back room. I feel great about the receiver room. I feel really good about our quarterback room, tight ends room for that matter too. So to me, the biggest probably, I don't even want to call it a problem, but right, the personnel group that has the farthest to go between now and the Southern Miss game, I think's the offensive line, just simply because of the fact we've got so many new faces that have been here a short amount of time. They didn't get the benefit of spring practice. Danny P. Smith of the Starkville Daily News asked a question, and it actually got highlighted, Danny's question and the answer, by the Mississippi State social media accounts. And he just kind of talked about, if you've seen a difference in defensive energy. But as Danny kind of qualified too, they played hard last year. You know, let's give them credit. We had some guys that were a little bit out overmatched, but they played hard. Levy's response, it is a more connected group. And let's just stop there. That's an important thing, okay? Like, you begin to think about last year's deal. You know, we knew. This time last year, we knew. We absolutely knew the defensive line was going to be an issue. We knew it. And it proved to be worse than we anticipated. We knew that we were going to go as far as the defensive line could carry us, and that was two wins. And there were some other times we actually played well enough on defense to win, and then because we had a freshman quarterback and at times an offensive line that was a little bit up and down, the offense didn't carry their side of the deal. Back to Levy's comments. I thought something different today. The entire defense walked out here together. No one left without the other. That was good to see. There's some trust being created inside the unit. There's accountability. That's what we have to change. End of quote. All of that is true. And so you'd say, well, you know, Steve, it's not that big a deal. I think it is that big a deal. And to walk down there as a unit, you know, to me, that illustrates a bigger point. I mean, how many times last year did this unit look cohesive to you? Well, Eastern Kentucky, Egg Bowl maybe? That's about it. Not even against UMass. Remember, we got down 10-0 in that game. We had to come back, make some adjustments. But, you know, many of you, midway through the first quarter, you're ready to fire everybody. And it was a part of me, too. I'm sitting there thinking, we're fixing to lose UMass. That's how I felt. I couldn't believe it. I mean, you almost just get incredulous. But I think it's safe to say you don't just come together on the field. You come together off the field, maybe on the practice field, during those workouts, during meetings. But more importantly, you build a camaraderie kind of away from your coaches. And I think the fact those guys wanted to walk down there together, I think maybe that speaks to the fact that maybe we're building some camaraderie on defense. I do think we're going to be better. I know you guys do too. I mean, we better be, right? We invested a lot of money in turning this defense around and brought in some more, you know, defensive quality control guys, shook up defensive line responsibilities from a coaching standpoint. You know, we have invested a lot in turning this defense around. I do believe we're going to score. And as I've said many times, if we could just be good on defense, we don't even have to be really good or great. If we could just be good, got a real chance to get the six. Along those lines, Levy was asked about the offense. What did you see from the offense? Leb says, today the frustrating thing offensively was not taking care of the ball. Stop there a second. That really wasn't an issue last year when Chapin was a quarterback. As mentioned, 8 touchdowns against 1 pick. Of course, he had that real bad fumble against Arizona State, trying to do a little bit too much. But, you know, Michael Van Buren is going to be up and down with freshman quarterbacks. That's not a shot at Mike. That's just kind of how things are. You got a guy that's kind of been forced into a situation perhaps before he's ready. Mike made some big throws for us, but he also made some bad ones. And, again, up and down with young players. That's just how it's going to be. Back to Levy's comment. We did some good things, created a couple of explosives, but did some decent things in the run game. But turnovers were the storyline. The ball is the program, and we need to take care of it. We've done pretty well through fall camp, non-practice in, but that was not the story today. End of quote. And so I think that's an important aspect of this, too. It's like, I'm not going to mention the guy's name because I don't want people trolling him. I don't want him to think I'm picking on him. As soon as we post the transcript, there's a guy that's in the Facebook groups, always kind of negative, jumps out and says, well, what this tells me is the offense isn't going to be any good. Well, I don't know if you should start a 900 number, but the head ball coach just told you that yesterday was a bit of an outlier. And we get a snapshot, and we begin to make determinations and judgments based on that. Based on a headline of an article we likely didn't even read. It's like, oh, we turned the football over. Defense created some turnovers. We must be terrible, right? Remember last year when we were talking about how good the offensive line looked? And it's because the defensive line was poor. We just didn't know how bad they were, right? We were pretty, maybe average and at times above average on the offensive line. There were some games we were pretty good. You know, but by and large, I mean, you know, we weren't near beefy enough. Again, we had to put Luke Work out there, a true freshman. I mean, that says a lot about our depth, right? Not just a good thing about Luke, right? But also it shows the fact that a true freshman, as talented as he is, was our best option at left tackle in the Southeastern Conference, really says a lot about our depth. And so as we begin to kind of get into this stuff, you know, it's important to understand, I just about guarantee you, when we have Levy this weekend after this weekend's scrimmage, it's going to be about how the offense struck back. And then what are we going to say then, you know? I mean, the thing about it is you want teachable moments. You want both teams to have some success, but you also want to have some teachable moments. You don't want anybody to get so high that they're kind of beyond criticism. And so the best case scenario, defense wins one, offense wins the next one. Then you have your third scrimmage, and I guess to kind of settle it. But the bottom line is you want everybody to get some work. And if the offense was just out there just plowing through the defense, and that was the story you read yesterday, you'd be like, oh my gosh, here we go. We suck again on defense, right? So I think it's important to take the text within the proper context and understand yesterday was just one scrimmage that we didn't get to see. And this is what our coaches told us. That's an important aspect of this. I believe, and I think, again, some people are always going to find, they live in an echo chamber, and they're only going to find sound bites and quotes that fit their narrative. Follow-up question that I asked Levy was O-line, D-line battles, right? Because, again, this time last year, it was about kind of the O-line getting after the D-line. He was really confident about the offensive line at this point last year. And so how does that group look compared to last year, but also to against this very expensive defensive front that we didn't have last year? You know, again, I've run all these numbers, too, you know, to kind of see who we are and where we are and what we did well and things of that nature last year. You know, not a lot as a 2-10 record will reflect, but we had to get better on the defensive line. So what I really wanted to hear here is that the defensive line is competing at a high level. That's what I want to hear. Because remember, we got four guys back on the offensive line that got a lot of SEC snaps last year. Jacoby Jackson, Luke Work, Cannon Boone, Albert Reese, obviously. I mean, you got four guys back that started games last year. I guess Cannon maybe didn't start, but he played a lot. But you got a lot of guys back with some SEC snaps under their belt, and then you bring in all these other guys, and you wonder, well, how is this working out? So I ask him about it. Leb says, we'll have to watch it to evaluate it. And pause. That's kind of a typical answer. There's a lot of that, you know, because you got to go back and see how guys handle their responsibilities, right? It's one thing, like you see the end result, right? You see a guy breaking through for a touchdown, and we just automatically assume, well, that's a well-executed play. Not always. You got to go back as a coach and make sure that everybody, all 11, carried out their assignment. And then you can kind of have an idea of that. Because sometimes you just have somebody make a play. Back to Levy's quotes. The physicality of practice is completely different than what it was. Pause right there. Isn't that what you wanted to hear? Isn't that the one thing you wanted to hear more so than anything else?
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, more terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
But the offensive line and defensive line are getting after each other at a much higher level than last year. I think that's fair to say. Especially, again, we were pretty average on the offensive line, and we shoved those guys around last year. But there's a new physicality. And, Ken, the offensive linemen have had some things to say, too, and they're a competitive group, too. Back to Lubb's comments. There has to be that to have a chance, talking about the physicality. We have it right now. I love how hard they are, how hard they're practicing. On the offensive line, we have to come together as a unit, as we discussed. Who are the top 7 or 8 guys that can play winning football throughout the season? That's the biggest strain offensively right now, end of quote. And that's pretty much everything in a nutshell right there. The good thing is that we probably have 7, 8, or even 9 guys that are capable of playing in a Southeastern Conference game and not creating a problem. Again, you got 4 guys back with those snaps, and then you bring in some guys in December and you bring in some guys in the spring that have played Division I football. A lot of those guys bring a lot of snaps with them too. So from a depth standpoint, you got to feel like from an offensive line standpoint, we are taking a step forward. So we have better depth on the offensive line, yet we're having some pretty intense battles with the defensive line. See, sometimes you kind of read between the lines. One of those things, too, that, you know, Lab, we talked about when Lubb got here, he's going to use the tight end a little bit more. And we've talked, you know, extensively on the show about how much deeper that group is. And, of course, you got Sadu back, and he was a freak. Again, one of the last double transfers that actually had to sit out a year, which I guess in the end it works to his benefit from an educational point of view. And, you know, gets 2 years in Maroon and White. Very happy to have him back. And, you know, he's a walk-in mismatch. But Lubb was asked kind of about the tight end, you know, the improvement in that room. Lubb says, quote, "It creates freedom. As a play caller, when you have multiple tight ends that can execute a lot of different things, it creates freedom. That room has been upgraded since June 1st, fired up about Max Steele and Sam West being here. Two unbelievable kids who are talented and love football. I'm excited about that group." End of quote. And, yeah, every coach that's been here, and I don't know what it is about, there's two positions we love at Mississippi State. We are all in love with the backup quarterback, and then we're in love with the tight end. And there's another segment of our fan base, too, that gets absolutely enamored with these walk-ons. I don't know why. We haven't had a true walk-on outside of a specialist of note that's really done anything. But every year, people are like, oh, just wait. No, at some point you would learn, right? They're walking on for a reason. And they're, you know, of course, probably Ben Beckwith is probably the last walk-on that eventually earned a scholarship that really did some things of significance. So don't waste my time with that. I'm just telling you, again, there's like this, you know, segment, like this group within the group that, again, gets enamored. I don't understand why this guy's not playing. He's not good enough, okay? He's not good enough. But along those lines, I want to address this. Situation that keeps getting brought up, and about Art Briles. And I've touched on this a little bit, and I'm going to share this as respectfully to everybody as I can. Okay, this is a complete non-story. Art Briles is Staley Lebby's father. They have grandchildren here. They're going to be here from time to time. Art Briles is not involved coaching this football team. period. And I don't know why this continues to kind of get brought up. Obviously, it was a very difficult situation there at Baylor. It's well documented. But the end of the day is, this is a guy coming to see his son-in-law and to come see his family. And it's not going to change anything, right? I mean, it's not. And so I wish we could just kind of move on from this, honestly, because we didn't hire Art Briles. We hired Jeff Lebby, who happens to be related to Art by marriage. And, you know, no matter what your opinions are about Art Briles and what happened with Baylor, it's got nothing to do with Mississippi State. Nothing. Nothing. Ever. And I don't know why all of a sudden this has kind of become an issue, you know, that we want to talk about this. I mean, we talked about it when Jeff Lebby got hired. I mean, do we have to continue to talk about this? This is the last time I'm talking about it. I'm just telling you now, I think it's absolutely silly. And all due respect to everybody involved and what they do. Jeff Lebby was asked about it yesterday in a press conference, which I'm not a fan of at all. But here's what Leb said. No, coach being here was family. I think that was addressed. We want family at practice. That is special, and that's how it will continue to be. End of quote. And my hope is it's the last time we have to talk about this. Because at the end of the day, what I care about, and I hope what you care about, and we as a fan base sometimes and as a media group can get pulled in a million different directions. All I care about is Mississippi State winning. And I care about Mississippi State graduating players. I care about Mississippi State socializing and maturing young men into productive men's husbands, fathers. All the other stuff is just simply a distraction. I want Mississippi State to go out and recruit the best players they possibly can, for them to get their college degree, become very productive alums, give back to the Bulldog Initiative or Excellence Fund or Bulldog Club, whatever we're going to call it at some point. Those are the things that I care about. All the rest of this stuff makes no difference to me. You know, we have all this time. Sometimes we want to just assassinate people because of guilt of association about things that maybe we don't even really know about. Right? And so at the end of the day, let's focus on what matters most. Let's don't focus on, you know, the sideshow. We're going to focus on the maroon and white show. That's what we're about. We're here to cover Mississippi State sports. And we're going to do it better than anybody else. And we're going to go out there and commit ourselves to writing the best stories and providing the best coverage that Mississippi State fans see and deserve. This is not part of that. It's not. And again, you know, everybody's got their own plan, I guess, you know. But, you know, we've had to talk about this now for 2 weeks. One of the things that worries me about this is we already get limited access, right? And then one of the only times that we do, all of a sudden, this has become, it's become a story. And there's no story there. Not as it pertains to Mississippi State. And so that's how I feel about it. And again, this is the last time that I plan to talk about it. But I just want to move forward and go win football games. And the thing I think about, too, is like Jeff Lebby. I mean, and let's be honest about this, right? I mean, if we have a year similar to last year, we may have a coaching change at the end of the year. We may. And this is what we're wanting to talk about. You know, I want to talk about the progress the team is making. I want to talk about where we're strong and where we're weak. That's what I want to talk about. Other people may choose to talk about any other things. And that's their business. It's their right. Doesn't mean I agree. But, yeah, I think we're trying to make a story out there where, you know, nothing exists. There's no story there. It'd be one thing if, you know, it was a member of the staff or something, you know, but come on. At the end of the day, it's about Mississippi State, and that's what it should be. And I wish more people felt the same. I think this is just one of those things that just kind of, you know, you chase down a rabbit hole, and next thing you know, you begin to realize you just kind of come out the other side and never get the reward, if that makes sense to you. But you can read the Jeff Lebby Q&A in its entirety and watch the video over at jeanspage.com for free. You could also subscribe and get an annual subscription to Gene's Page and 247 Sports at 50% off the annual subscription price. Also, interesting note, too. I don't know if you guys are fans of MMA. I am. Maybe not quite as much as I was, but I love the MMA. I do. And as you know, Paramount Plus is the parent company of 247 Sports. And there was a merger between Paramount and Skydance last week. So big news this morning is that Paramount is going to be the exclusive United States home to the UFC beginning next year. A 7-year agreement that's in the billions of dollars. Basically, everything, there's no more pay-per-views for UFC. You're going to be able to watch it on Paramount. And if you are a regular annual subscriber to jeanspage.com or the 247 Sports Network, you get the complimentary subscription to Paramount. So it's another reason to subscribe. Now, if you take advantage of the 50% off deal, you got to wait till the promotional term is over. If you just want to say, hey, Steve, look, I want to be part of this, come jump aboard. And again, if you are a full-paying annual subscriber, you get the Paramount Plus. You can watch Yellowstone, all that good stuff too. But I think it's a cool thing too. We're going to be able to add that. You know, this is big news. So again, remind everybody, Paramount Plus comes with a full price subscription of 247 Sports, Gene's Page. And they're going to be running campaigns to you guys, but the UFC pay-per-views going away, going to be on the Paramount Plus streaming platform. How about that? A lot of people out there making moves. This is one of the biggest ones in sports media, for sure. All right, it's time for our player of the day, brought to you by closewithblair.com, C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair Chandler is a mortgage professional. He's my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry, and you need a friend in the mortgage industry. You may not realize that yet. It's one of those life hacks. You need a mortgage professional. You don't just need a mortgage loan originator. Give Blair a text or call today at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. 24 years of experience. Get his expertise and know-how working for you. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. He knows how to construct loans that give you the best chance of getting through underwriting without a lot of pins. And if you don't know what pins are, you don't know the mortgage industry. Sometimes your loan is pending approval based on certain things. He knows how to avoid a lot of those things because he knows what he's doing, right? So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps a game day condo, and that may be easier to obtain than you realize, give Blair a text or call today. Let him walk you through that process. Again, closeatblair.com. Our player of the day, we're going to go to, based on some sourced reports that witnessed the scrimmage, we're told that Davin Booth was probably the most outstanding player on offense, and we're expecting a lot from him this year. That running back room's got a chance to be really good. It really does. And Davin will be kind of the bell cow of that group. You know, Fluff will be part of it. X will be part of it. Seth Davis will be part of it. Johnny Daniels, who may be an unsung hero on this team. I watched the UMass game again earlier today. Johnny Daniels is outstanding that game. You talk about a guy that hits whole hard. But Davin Booth is kind of the straw that stirs the drink. On the defensive side of the football, I'm told Isaac Smith had a really good scrimmage, and you'd expect that, right? Isaac is just a guy that, again, knows how to go get the football. That's job one on defense. Go get the football, and Isaac gets it. So your Closewood Blair players of the day. Now, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Kalito Guitars. That is your guitar shop. That's a Mississippi State-owned and operated business based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. Visit their website. It's not just a guitar shop. Really, any stringed instrument they can help you with there. You can get a mandolin, right? Maybe you are a string instrument performer. You know, they can help you with all that stuff. It's not just guitars, even though they specialize in guitars. And you're going to get quality service before, during, and after the sale. How many times have you ordered something online and it's not exactly what you want, or something goes wrong in shipping, and then you can't get a hold of anybody? And you always think, man, I wish I could just talk to somebody. Well, at Kalito Guitars, you can. You just pick up the phone and call them. And they'll walk you through it. Your customer satisfaction is their mandate. Simple as that. A lot of these companies get too big for their britches, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, hey, customer service goes out the window. Exemplary customer service at Koleto Guitars. Now, here's what we're going to do. If you want to stop by the showroom and check it out, you can meet the grandsons. They run the show down there. Yeah. Yeah, you can try out a new axe. You know, find a guitar case that fits exactly what you're looking for. And there's just something cool about walking around with a guitar case. You know what I mean? It's true. It's true. You need a gig bag, accessories, anything you need guitar-related, you can find at ColitoGuitars.com. Again, guys, I've told you, like, there's that Steve Vai. It's not expensive because I can't afford to make a big investment. There's a Steve Vai guitar that I'm really, really fighting against purchasing myself, right? It's true. You know, I'm doing some more music stuff these days. I'm thinking I need to upgrade my equipment. Perhaps you do too. Whether you're looking for a beginner guitar or a professional grade guitar, you can find it all at ColitoGuitars.com. Promo code BSR. You can use it in person. You can use it over the phone. You can use it online. What that gets you? 10% off your purchase price. Free shipping. No sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And then a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund of your purchase price. What could be better than that? I like to keep business in the family. You should too. Whether you need a guitar stand, again, anything guitar related, get it from KalidoGuitars.com. C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars.com. Okay, we've had a good run of requests here lately. And I'll be honest with you, we got some that have been hanging around for several months we hadn't got to. A lot of times I'll just shift gears on you guys or something will happen in music. I got a really interesting one over the weekend. And it's so ironic, I got a great one today too from a longtime listener to the show, long dear friend of mine, not going to mention the name, that we'll do for Wednesday. Kind of similar to this one, right? So Grant hits us up and says, Steve, I'm a rock guy at heart, but I'm a piano player. I love playing piano. And some of my favorite rock songs feature the piano. You know, Billy Powell from Skinner's one. You know, the Styx guys always had a little bit. You know, Come Sail Away didn't make our list. It almost did. A lot of piano with that, right? A lot of Beatles stuff. But these are real rock songs, okay? These are real rock songs. I didn't use any top 40. You know, of course, Clocks from Coldplay. I know they've been in the news as of late. Maybe you've heard. That's a song with a great piano intro. A lot of people play that. They didn't make our list. But that's kind of what we're going for here. So, Grant, here are my top 10 rock songs with a keyboard intro. Now, I didn't necessarily rank these by quality of song. I ranked them by high about the intro itself. Does that make sense? I hope so. Because some of these songs that are towards the back end are some of my favorite songs. Right, and one of the things I love about the piano intro and things like that it allows the song to build. Okay, number 10, it's Mick Jones and Foreigner, and it's Lou Gramm singing about cold as ice, because our love is cold as ice. Right, you are cold as ice. What about our love? You know, think of what you've done to me. Because you're as cold as ice. And you're willing to sacrifice our love. I need you to get it together. I do. I need you to get it together. And don't blame all this on me. I'm doing my part. Number 9. We mentioned Billy Powell earlier. Free Bird actually begins with kind of an organ type sound. You know, I could go back to so much stuff, you know, with John Lord and Deep Purple. And we could do a lot with that. I just didn't this time. But I wanted to, anytime we can work in Skinner, it's a great thing. Of course, the song Free Bird is kind of co-written by Alan Collins' first wife. She had written a letter to Alan during a difficult time in their marriage and said, Alan, if I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me? And you never knew the genesis to that until you started listening to this show. Most of you didn't. You didn't know that. You didn't understand that the song Free Bird was kind of an answer to a letter And that's what Alan says, I'm as free as a bird. And this bird you cannot cage. Number 8, one of the greatest songs in American rock music history. Goes way back to 1972. It's a vintage classic. Absolutely love it. It's Aerosmith's Dream On. Because every time I look in the mirror, all these lines in my face getting clearer. And the older I get, the more that song matters to me. It came out my birth year, but also too, I get old. Sometimes I look in there and I say, yeah, Steve, you're getting a little bit haggard these days. Number 7. I love this song too. It's another American classic. And I remember before Use Your Illusion came out, Axl Rose was kind of teasing this song. We're going to have an orchestra. And people were like, oh, this is going to be just so incredibly sanctimonious. It wasn't. And one of the best guitar solos to ever like match a song, November Rain. But it starts, of course, with a great piano intro. But I don't think the piano is a big central part of the song. I think it's just a way to kind of get the roller coaster started. Number 6, not a piano. And I remember the very first time that I saw this on MTV. I was like, well, this is crazy, right? My youngest son for a long time, Ian, this was his favorite song. And it is a song that has survived the, you know, the generations. It's Europe's The Final Countdown. And everybody plays it. It's anthemic. It still is. Now, one of the things that I would encourage you to, because I think Europe gets a bad name, because Joey Tempest was so good looking and the hair was always perfect and things like that. And all of a sudden, you know, Guns and LA Guns and Faster, and people kind of like the grittier, sleazier rock. Europe had a much more polished image. But if you go back and like listen to Superstitious, man, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful song. Go back, open your heart. There were so many great things before The Final Countdown hit the American airwaves. Number 5, speaking of synthesized intros, and I recently saw a cover of this and said if the song Jump from Van Halen was just guitar-oriented, what it would sound like, and it was great. But you know what? I prefer it like this, and I think it shows off Eddie Van Halen's multifaceted skill set. So it's Van Halen Jump at number 5. Number 4, and the rest of these are just absolute rockers. I mean, absolute bangers. Number 4, the great Steve Lukather and Toto with Hold the Line, which I think is the best Toto song. Many of you are going to say Africa because it's the only song you know. But if you really love rock music, you know this one. Hold the Line is great. Lukather is a riff master. Number 3, one of my favorites. I had this on 45. I remember the day that I bought it. I bought it at the old Walmart in Columbia. Absolutely so jacked to get it and get it home. Got it on 45 and just absolutely wore this thing out. It's Kansas's Play the Game Tonight. This is a song that I wish more college athletic programs used on game day. We should use it at Davis Wade. Great, great song. Number 2, a song we have used at Davis Wade Stadium. And, of course, begins with a piano. You know, Jonathan, what a great, great musician. Talking Jonathan Cain and Journey, it's Don't Stop Believin' at number 2. I'm not going to get into some big Shakespearean soliloquy talking about how we probably should have never moved away from it because I know, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. I miss it. I do. I think it was a pretty special thing. It's just my opinion. I know Jake Wimberly was like the first to like lead that. And here's the thing about Jake, who is my friend. See, Jake Wimberly was one of those guys, like when we were all like wearing mullets and our 501 jeans and our Motley Crue shirts, Jake was wearing parachute pants and a New Kids on the Block t-shirt. It's true. He still wears the hair gel, you know, from the early 90s, still does it. And so I don't know that Jake is the best expert on rock music. And listen, I'm kidding, Jake. I love Jake. Jake listens to the show when he has some time, and I'm on Jake's show. But I just wanted to kind of throw a little barb at Jake. That guy puts ketchup on his steak, okay? And you want him to make the decisions about the fourth quarter music? Yeah, you get it. I love Jake. Jake is my friend. But number 1, and if you know me, and if you know music, you know where we're going here. That's right, it's a Pet Shop. No, it's not the Pet Shop Boys. It's Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. An absolute electric song that everybody knows from around the world. And I recently saw a reel out there that they just like began playing the instrumental like in between bands at a festival, and then the crowd just kind of took over. Like there was like a house band that just kind of played just enough instrumentation where people recognized the song. And then everybody just jumped aboard. And again, we thank Wayne's World for bringing this song back to a new generation back in the early 90s. And it seems like it's forever ago since Wayne's World came out. Maybe we need another Wayne's World movie. Maybe we do. I miss Dana Carvey. I do. But nevertheless, Bohemian Rhapsody, a song I've known forever and can't even say the title, Bohemian Rhapsody. So glad that my children know the glory of Freddie Mercury. You can think what you want to about Freddie Mercury's personal life, but there is no denying his talent. But again, that's your top 10 list for today. Reach out to Roy Samanti on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. Let him know your ideas. You can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. If you have an idea for the top 10 list, please let us know. We'll give you credit if you want it. We will, just like Grant today. Grant, we appreciate you and the fact that you're a musician, and that even though you're a piano player, you love rock. Yeah, because as you know, there are a lot of great rock songs that kind of feature the piano. They do. You know, there's a lot we could go back to, The Doors and things like that. There's just so much we can do. I think having keys sometimes just gives an extra layer to some really cool music, and I hope that you guys enjoy the list. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they have the things we want. Yeah, more Mississippi State merch. We can't get enough of it. It doesn't matter if it's apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave. You can find it at Campus Bookmart. Tailgating supplies, anything you need. For the Bulldog fans in your life, be sure and shop Campus Bookmart. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. The best selection of Mississippi State wares than the universe knows. Simple as that. A lot of people make that claim. They are pretenders to the throne. If you can't make it to town but would like to support a Starkville business, and we're certainly in favor of that, visit them online at campusbookmart.net, and by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, the top 25 AP football poll is out. Of course, Mississippi State not listed. Nor did we receive any votes. We'll run that down. The teams that just missed: BYU, Utah, Baylor, Louisville, USC, Georgia Tech, Missouri, Tulane, Nebraska, UNLV, Toledo, Auburn, James Madison, Memphis, Florida State, Duke, Liberty, Navy, Iowa, TCU, Pittsburgh, Army, Colorado, and Louisiana Lafayette. Yeah, they called in Louisiana Lafayette too. Yeah, and that's AP. That's AP styling. Not UL, Louisiana Lafayette. So, Mississippi State expected to play 7 top 25 teams as it stands right now. Let's run it down. I give you a few thoughts as we go along the way. Boise State at 25. Tennessee at 24. Of course, that's the Bulldogs' SEC opener in Week 5. I think there's a good chance they'll still be in the top 25. You know, how it looks. Some of these teams are going to drop out early on, and I think that's an important thing to kind of understand too. You know, who's in the top 25 today may not be tomorrow. And there are some people out there like, we shouldn't even rank the teams until like 4 weeks into the season. Well, who cares? What difference does it make, right? What difference does it make at the end of the day? The AP doesn't pick the national championship, you know. Tennessee plays Georgia week 3, so there is a possibility they could drop out. Of course, they do play Syracuse in week 1. I expect Tennessee to win that game, but it could be interesting. But 3 non-conference games in the first 4 weeks, but considering that they're just kind of precariously positioned just inside the top 25, they could drop out, but could be a top 25 team coming to Starkville there in week 5. Texas Tech is your number 23 team. Iowa State, 22. Remember when Matt Campbell was all the rage at Iowa State? Everybody's like, oh, he's the next big thing, and he's just stayed at Iowa State. Number 21, and there are some Ole Miss people that are disappointed with this. They're ranked 21. I think there's a chance they drop out of the top 25 fairly early. I know, listen, they're getting some hype, you know, because of, you know, Austin Simmons, and you know, a lot of people thinking, hey, he's going to be a very special player, and he may be. He may be. But it's a tough schedule for a guy that's just kind of finding his way in college football to start it out. As we know, Georgia State, they'll win that one. And then they got to go to Lexington. It's always weird. Then Arkansas. So two SEC opponents the first 3 weeks. We don't know how Arkansas's defense is going to look. Arkansas not even projected to make a bowl this year. But they've had some success against Ole Miss. And it hasn't always been the best matchup for Ole Miss. The power running teams have kind of been able to get after them. Tulane, of course, that could be a dicey game in Oxford. And then LSU will make the trip, too, on week five. So, you know, you could see Ole Miss drop a couple games early. You could. Leaping into the top 20 now, Indiana at 20, and then Texas A&M, another Bulldog opponent at 19. I'm not sure what to expect from them other than they'll probably be 8-4. I mean, I think that's a fair bet. I think that's what most people expect. A&M, of course, last year had a chance to do whatever they needed to make the SEC title game and ultimately the playoff. They choked. Number 18 is Oklahoma. I do not buy any of this at all. I don't think that they are worthy of a top 25 ranking, certainly not a top 20 ranking. I even saw some things yesterday where people were like, they're the dark horse in the SEC. No, they are not. No, they are not. I just don't see it. Some other people do. I think this is a ranking based on national prestige. And a lot of people are saying, oh, there's no way they're going to be as bad as they were last year. And they were. They won some games. Maybe they shouldn't. But, you know, Jackson Arnold leaves. You know, so we'll see what happens. But I'm just not a believer in the Sooners. They may prove me wrong, but I'm not buying it. Number 17, Kansas State. Number 16, SMU. And then, another surprise, number 15, Florida. Let me ask you this. I mean, honest to goodness, have you seen anything out of Florida? And listen, to be fair, they closed out the season really strong, right? But have you seen anything out of Florida during the Billy Napier era that suggests to you that they're going to be a top 15 club? I would say no. And listen, I think, again, this is one of those deals where it's just based on reputation. I think a lot of voters are like, yeah, at some point they'll figure it out. And maybe they did toward the end of last year. But in the 3 years that Billy Napier has been in Gainesville, 6 regular season wins, 5 regular season wins, and then 7 regular season wins. Again, Florida has not had a double-digit win season since 2019 under Dan Mullen. Finished the year ranked number 6 in the country. So, again, I think Florida is one of those teams, too, that, you know, maybe you can get a little bit excited about. We're going to make a trip to the swamp. And, you know, that's not going to be fun, you know, because, again, they're kind of a power running game. But, you know, they're going to start out, you know, with a couple of non-conference opponents. And then it's a road trip to LSU and then a road trip to Miami ahead of Texas. Then you got to go to A&M. Before you get to Mississippi State. So a very interesting run. And again, I've said before, I like where we lay on the schedule other than the fact they have an open date after us. But they could be a beat-up football team when we head to Gainesville. Michigan at 14, South Carolina at 13. I mean, look at Beamer Ball, right? Shane doing a good job there. A lot of people are kind of hyping them up a little bit. Here's the thing about – number one, I love Shane. Okay, and that's a great home field advantage there. I think those of you that have been kind of understand, that's one of the reasons we wanted those LED lights is because they do such a good job with them. It just makes for an incredible environment there. I don't know that many people do it better than they do, but they do. They do a great job there. And, you know, hey, Shane was a surprise pick. Ray Tanner hired him. A lot of people were against it. And then, of course, Shane – finds a way to kind of get ahead of schedule. And a lot of people last year thought he may be coaching for his job, but they turned it around. But it'll be interesting, too, to kind of see how things play out with them early in the season. You know, it's just you never know what to expect from the South Carolina team. But you expect them to be Clemson year one under Beamer? I would say no, you know. But they're going to open up against Virginia Tech at the Mercedes-Benz Dome or whatever we're calling it in Atlanta these days, the Georgia Dome, right? And then South Carolina State, Vandy, and Missouri to three, you know, neutral site game, two home games, and then Mizzou. And then they get the Kentucky game, which always is interesting. You know, you got to go to LSU, then you get Oklahoma. So, I mean, the first half of that schedule is pretty daunting. So South Carolina kind of, you know, safely positioned for now. But if you drop game one, it could be interesting. Illinois is at 12. Mississippi State's week two opponent, Arizona State, comes in at 11. I'm not buying this either. And I know Sam Leavitt is a guy that's expected to be very good. They lost a ton of players from last year. They worked the portal hard again this year. I think, again, some of this is based on last year's results, but it's not last year's team. Arizona State's going to be good, but they're not really – typically recruiting at an SEC level. And I think if we go out there and play like we're capable of playing, we're capable of winning that game. Miami comes in at number 10. LSU, number 9. State doesn't play them. I think some people are sleeping on LSU just a little bit, though. And I know the Garrett Nussmeier situation, you know, have some people thinking, oh, you know, what are we going to see? But, you know, to hear Brian Kelly tell it, it's a kind of a chronic situation. It's not been something that is a new occurrence. He's kind of played with this type of ailment before. You know, basically he has tendonitis in his knee, which is never great for an athlete, but it's not something new. Number 8 is Alabama. Again, I think this is based off reputation. You know, Alabama's a team last year to drop some games they absolutely shouldn't have, and I think it's like people are like, well, they'll bounce back this year. And you don't know that. I still think Alabama's a top 20 team. I don't think there's any question about that. I think they're probably a 10-win team this year. Maybe they make the playoffs. We'll see. I don't know. Number 7 is Oregon. 6 is Notre Dame. And then Georgia, number 5, another Mississippi State opponent. They are the second highest ranked SEC team in the AP poll. But it's going to be interesting. Yeah. Without Carson Beck, who I didn't think was great last year, I think he was kind of a product of the system and had a lot of talent around him. That could be interesting. You know, what happens? You know, is Gunner the quarterback this year? I think probably so. And he's a guy that probably brings a little more of a running element to things. I think he's a better athlete than Carson Beck. But Georgia's going to be elite defensively again. So they'll certainly be top 10 when we roll into Stark Vegas that night to host them. Clemson, number 4. Of course, that, you know, big ball game early in the year, Clemson LSU. Ohio State, the defending NAFL champions, is 3rd. James Franklin and Penn State are 2. And it always feels like Penn State always finds a way, when the expectations are high, to find a way to lose a game that they shouldn't, right? That's one of those things, and I think James Franklin's a great coach, but there always seems to be that one loss each year you have to kind of look at and say, you know, what's this about? Right? And real quickly, kind of looking at the Penn State schedule, you know, one of those things that helps with them too, you know, even though they got a lot of travel and that kind of stuff to do, you know, we'll see how things go. It's going to be interesting, though. And they open up with Nevada. That's a dub. Florida International, Villanova, and then Oregon. So this should be 3-0 going into the Big Ten opener against Oregon, which, again, that's a ranked team. Then you got to go the next week to UCLA, not expecting to be much, but that's a long trip. Northwestern at Iowa, at Ohio State. That'll be a marquee game, obviously. Probably top 5 opponents. Indiana, you know, is Cignetti going to be as good in year 2 as he was in year 1? Made the playoff last year. At Michigan State, Nebraska, at Rutgers. And so you look at this, hey, they don't play Michigan, but they're going to play some of the top teams within their conference. And, of course, number 1 is Texas. I believe that's probably the way I would have voted, at least at the top spot. But I think outside of the top 10, it's just kind of a beauty contest. And there's just so many teams in there that are ranked high based on last year's results. And, of course, the way Florida ended the year kind of makes you think Lagway kind of getting his legs under him a little bit. That'll be interesting. But at the end of the day, the only poll that counts is the last one, you know. So, Kent State be ranked at some point this year? Yeah, possibly. But I don't think there's a lot of believers in Mississippi State. So we're going to have to probably win more games than most to get votes and maybe creep in early in the year. But nobody's expecting us to be anywhere near the top 25 at the end of the year, which I think is interesting for Jeff Lebby, right? How do you handle a year with little to no expectations, right? And everybody's like, well, our schedule's tough. Guys, our schedule is always tough. We play in the toughest conference in the country. And you think about this, like we're not playing LSU or Alabama or Auburn, teams that we historically have played annually. You're not playing them, but you do get Tennessee, you do get Georgia. And so it's like, you know, no matter how you trade it, and Texas, you know, so it's like, hey, you don't have to play Alabama every year. Where do I sign? Okay, cool. Well, let me give you the better teams, you know, from the other side, right? Because Georgia and Tennessee were perennial contenders in the East. And so, you know, the reality of it is we have to face the fact that Mississippi State is always going to have a difficult schedule. Always. But that's not going to be an excuse. We want to win. And I watched the Mississippi State episode in this Every Given Saturday thing. Or Any Given Saturday. I haven't watched the whole thing. I saw a bunch of people kind of highly anticipating this documentary. I haven't seen a ton of positive traction out there on socials about it. I did enjoy the behind-the-scenes stuff, like the stuff with Jeff Lebby, with his family, and that kind of stuff. That was all very interesting, him getting emotional post-game after the Egg Bowl. That was kind of neat. I felt in some ways we were kind of disrespected, and I'm not a guy that wears that label on his sleeve, but like when they're breaking that same episode, it's breaking down rivalry week and Texas A&M and Texas, they had Johnny Manziel to provide color about the A&M Longhorn rivalry, right? We had SEC Mike. Yeah, I don't even know if Mike's even a real media guy. He's just a guy with a Twitter account that loves the league, and I got no beef with Mike. But you mean to tell me you couldn't – I mean, Dak may not have been available, but you couldn't have contacted somebody at Mississippi State to get a former player to talk about the intensity of the State-Ole Miss rivalry? And even on the Ole Miss side, you didn't have anybody on their side. And so in that respect, I think it was kind of poorly done, right? That's just me being honest. Again, the videography was great. The behind-the-scenes stuff was great. Shout out to the Bellsmith. Glad that they got a little bit of an appearance there too. But I just feel like if you want to really, and I understand, you know, budgets and things of that nature, but with Zoom and that kind of stuff these days, you could figure some things out, right? Not to mention that crew was here like 3 weeks, you know, during the season. You couldn't have set something up. You couldn't have contacted Brandon Langlois, Media Relations, and said, hey, can you provide somebody to kind of speak on behalf of Mississippi State? You know, could you imagine like Fred Smoot? Fred would have loved to have done it, right? Eric Mold, somebody like that, have been great to really talk about it, you know, the intensity of the rivalry. And goodness, if I'm going to have A&M and Mississippi State in the same episode, I might get Jackie Sherrill on the phone. You know, and again, it's not my project. I don't know the challenges they had. I just didn't think that was very good. It's like, and listen, all due respect to SEC Mike, but how many Egg Bowls do you think he's been to? You know, and so you're going to have somebody, and I don't blame him for accepting the invitation. He'd be a fool to turn it down. I mean, it gives you great engagement. But he's not an Egg Bowl expert. You know, and I'm not sitting here advocating for myself or anybody else in the media. I think if you're going to go get Johnny Manziel to talk about A&M in Texas, then you probably need to do that for State or Ole Miss. Get somebody comparable, you know, at least a beloved player. But, again, I don't know much about filmmaking. I just know that that just kind of jumped out to me. That's just one of those things that I would have done differently. Maybe you see it differently. But, yeah, I think it's 7 episodes. Mississippi State's in week 6, or the 6th episode. And I think Jeff Lebby comes off really good in the episode. I think he does. And the one thing I do believe about Jeff Lebby is he absolutely cares about this place, cares about his job, cares about the game, cares about his players. Yeah, it's a career opportunity for Jeff. You know, in the event that Brett Venables gets fired at Oklahoma this year, which, despite what the AP poll tells you, is a very good possibility, I don't think Jeff is going to be a candidate for that job, okay? No matter who gets the athletic director job at Oklahoma, I just don't think that's the case. I just don't think Leb's done enough, right? So I suspect Leb's going to be here for a little while, and we need to have some stability. We need to be able to build some culture. We need to be able to stick with an offensive philosophy. We need to continue to recruit to that philosophy and put ourselves in a position year after year after year. You know, I ran the numbers a couple of years ago on attrition rates. I finally just had to give up. It was just too much to keep up with, you know, because the portal just exploded on us. But in 2023, you know, the two teams that had the highest attrition rates in the Southeastern Conference were Mississippi State and Auburn. And those are teams that had, in the portal era, had undergone two coaching changes. Yeah. And now we've got a third one, you know. And so you can only imagine, you know, I suspect that the portal retention rates or the roster retention rates right now are not favorable to Mississippi State. That's, maybe that's one of the reasons I don't want to do it, you know. But you don't need a pie chart to understand this is a much different team than the one that Jeff Lebby inherited. As mentioned a couple weeks ago or a week ago, he had 15 players back from when he got here, you know, on the scholarship side. And that's including Kyle Ferry, you know. At least he's a regular. I think it's 14 actual scholarship guys. I think, you know, Kyle's a guy that's a walk-on. That may have changed since he arrived. But the reality of it is this is a completely different team. It is completely Jeff Lebby's team. And I think in year two, we're going to see a lot more of Jeff Lebby's offense. And you know, somebody asked me just the other day, which offensive player do you think needs to step up the most? Who is a guy that nobody's talking about on offense that could kind of be an X factor? I'm going to go with Jordan Mosley. I mean, did you look at the steps that he took last year? I mean, he took a little bit of a jump last year. Listen, he's not going to have Kevin Coleman-type numbers. But I think Mosley is a guy, and he had a couple drops last year that were pretty big, but he is a guy that I suspect will play the best football of his career this year. Last year he had the opportunity, of course, and was a starter throughout the year. And I think Jordan Mosley is a guy that loves Mississippi State, loves all of you, loves Starkville, and I think that he could be a big piece of things. And again, nobody's talking about him. Everybody's talking about Devon Booth, of course, the addition of Fluff Bothwell, you know, Blake being healthy, Brennan Thompson coming in with his blazing speed. You know, there's a lot of other guys that could mention before you get to J-Mo. But I think that he is going to be a very significant part of things for Mississippi State. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you don't know the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you certainly should. If you're bringing a large group to town, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It's the place to lay your head and to break bread, and just to kind of spend some time recreating with each other. We stayed there back for New Year's. We'll probably do it again. It is an absolutely outstanding facility, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can get do your tailgating right there. Save yourself a lot of time, trouble, and effort, and just cook and enjoy your dining wares there, right? Now, full-service kitchen, wet bar, if you're interested, the back porch area, the fire pit area, we used everything. I didn't use a wet bar. I don't partake in that kind of stuff. But 6 bedrooms, 3 baths. And again, it's so easy to find. Right off 182 out past the Highlands. Again, just 5 minutes away from campus. You know, you think about game day traffic and having to battle through 12 and all that kind of stuff. You can stay right there, just kind of nestled up against the Mississippi State campus. And half the trip is just kind of getting back to 182. You take that left, next thing you know, you're pulling up at Davis Wade. Great opportunity. And it's open 365 days a year. When you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page auto-populates, and you can see pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests. But in addition to that, some booking options come up. You can go the Airbnb route, the VRBO route, But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to this show. You could pay more, but why? I want to talk about something important in this last segment. And I want to give Dan Guetzel a lot of credit. If you haven't read the article, I shared it last night. And so this may be the most important article that you read all year. We have had this happen within our Starkville community. This thing has happened. And Dan Guetzel tells the story of a high school player from Michigan that, you know, he's a good-looking kid, all-American kid, and, you know, filled with hormones like the rest of us, and we're 16, 17 years old. And I guess for some of us, even in the middle age. But anyway, he gets a DM one night, you know, from this account. Said her name was Danny Roberts, and they blurred the picture, but you got to figure it's probably some cute girl. Said she was 19, and one thing leads to another, and then this account sends a provocative picture, let's say that, and then wants one in return. And then the young man, of course, feels some sense of obligation, despite the fact that he had a girlfriend. He goes and goes to his restroom and snaps a picture that is provocative, and he sends it back. Well, immediately he finds out then that Danny Roberts, number one, is not for real, and it was a group of Nigerian scammers. They were pretending to be this college-age girl showing interest in this young man. And again, she sent the provocative picture first and then kind of persuaded him. He's like, well, hey, you owe me one. You got something over on me. Well, then, of course, at this point, you can't lock down your account because they've already screenshot all your followers. They've already done their research and found out who likes your pictures and that sort of stuff, and who you're taking pictures with, who you're tagged with, who your girlfriend is, who your parents are. And then they basically extorted money from this kid. And he worked at McDonald's, and he had $355 in his account. And they said, hey, we need $1,000, or we're going to send this provocative photo to your girlfriend, to your mom, and all your followers, and all your family members, or whatever. Now, I will be honest with you. Number one, I would never send that kind of picture. But number two, if I did, I would not care what they did with it. Wouldn't make any difference to me. Number one, I'd never be in that situation, but I wouldn't care, right? When you're 17 years old, you care a lot, especially about that sort of stuff, especially when you've done something that you shouldn't have done, right? So within 5 hours of this first DM showing up saying, hey, and the end of our story is the young man kills himself. And the scammers encouraged him. You may as well kill yourself. I'm going to ruin your life. You got to give me $1,000. No, and then he offered the other $55. He sent him $300 and had $55 left. He's, I'll even give you that. He goes, no deal. So, of course, they send the picture to his girlfriend and some others. And the young man goes downstairs, gets a gun, sends a text to his mom in the middle of the night, says, I love you. She was asleep, didn't see it. Texts his girlfriend, said, hey, I've made a mistake. I wish I could take it back. I love you, and then kills himself. The first thing that I want to say is to all of you young people to listen to this show, in the event that something like this happens to you, number one, if it seems to be too good to be true, it is, okay? Random hot girls in college are not interested in high school guys. I know that burst your bubble a little bit, but that's the reality, and it actually may save your life to know that. Even talking to my own daughters when they transitioned to college, like all their friends that they knew from dance class or whatever, like, hey, why don't you come to the Starkville High School game? It's just not even on their social calendar. They would never even dream of dating a guy in high school when they were in college. And so to think that a hot college girl would come to you unsolicited as a complete random stranger and then send you pictures of her business unsolicited, that's got to raise some red flags. Okay, I know how cute you are, right? I know how handsome you believe you are, and that all of a sudden, oh, there's this hot college girl, and hey, she's sending me stuff. Guys, I'm just telling you, times have changed with college girls. They're a lot more aggressive and certainly a lot more aware, right, of kind of what happens in the world. But it's just, it just doesn't work that way. The second thing is, in the event that you do something like this, right, if you get caught in this trap, allow me to speak on behalf of the rest of society, okay? Your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your coaches, your church members, whatever. We're going to be okay, all right? We're going to be okay with that. If your parents, you'd be like, how in the world could you do this, right? How could you do this? But it's not worth your life. And yeah, there'll be some people that'll snicker in high school or whatever. The picture may even get passed around, you know. But the reality of it is, it is not, number one, you should never do this. But number two, in the event you do, it's not worth ending your life for. Guys, at some point, we all have been embarrassed among our high school peers. Of course, you know, back when I was, you know, we had rotary phones, you know, when I started school. It was big time when we got like push button phones, you know. But all that understood, it's not the end of the world. And as I said many times on this show, I wish I could take all you young people that are struggling with something that you feel is so incredibly important. I wish I could just hug you all and tell you it's not always going to be this way. As I've shared with you guys before, about 30 minutes after graduation, all of those opinions that used to matter so much to you no longer matter. They don't. I mean, you keep up with your friends, you know, but there's a lot of people. When you're in high school, that's like the biggest group of, quote, friends you'll ever have. And most of them are acquaintances. And most of them you'll never see after high school graduation. You just won't. You won't see them. And they shouldn't have value in your life, especially those that have ill intentions. And so I would encourage every parent, and I mean every parent, if you are a parent of a teenager, go find that article written by Dan Wetzel of ESPN. It's on my social, and again, I labeled it probably the most important article that you'll read this year, and have this discussion. One of our regular listeners even hit me up and said, hey, I pulled up that article and I had my son read it. I'm going to read you there. I'm not going to identify who sent the message because I did not ask for permission. But anyway, said I sent the article you shared to my son and made him read it. We then discussed it at great length. I told him to tell all of his friends. I also stressed if any of them felt they couldn't talk to their parents, they could always talk to me. Hell yeah. I told him I would go with them to talk to their parents if needed. Number one, I'm glad this person is my friend, but I think they absolutely nailed this, right? The way we have to make these young people feel is that once the adults get involved, we can get it settled. Now, this particular situation in Michigan, and I want to give the FBI a lot of credit, they actually went and found the scammers and brought them to the United States and held them accountable. And I believe it was 17 and a half years. And again, we've had this happen in Starkville. So our community has been touched by these people. And so I think for us as parents and for us as community leaders, we have to let these young people know, number one, don't do it. But in the event that you make this mistake, you can depend on us. You can come and talk to us. I had somebody the other day talking about, you know, some of the people that I've dealt with over the years, trying to be of service to them. I've had to help some people find the words to tell the people they love some very difficult things. Number one, I'm very honored that people feel like they can come to me with those kinds of things. And so it makes me sad, too. And number one, they don't feel like they have somebody closer, you know, that I'm basically a stranger to them. And I had one young lady that had to tell her family some things that she thought was going to break their heart. And she said, Steve, I just don't have the words. Can you help me? And I did. And come to find out, when she told her parents, they pretty much already knew. And it wasn't, the nightmare that she thought. And I think that's kind of where this sits, too. It's not the nightmare you think it is. It sucks. It's embarrassing, right? But it's not the end of the world. And the people that love you will help you through it. My response to my friend, who is clearly a great parent, I said, yeah, I've been contacted by people like this before. I once thought about sending the scammers a fake picture just to mess with them. There's some wild pictures on the internet, some really wild ones. And I thought then, I didn't do it because I was like, you know what, somebody may take this for real. But I thought about, I'll send them the picture. And then like if they send it to my friends trying to shame me, my friends would get a big kick out of it. But I think this is too serious a thing to joke with, right? And not to mention, these people are clearly relentless and, they may seek revenge, right? Because you may make them look stupid and then all of a sudden they find a way to put together some catfish profile and then extort somebody you love. So sometimes it's best just to let sleeping dogs lie. But no matter who you are, male, female, whatever, right? No matter your age, if anything like this ever happens to you, number one, just don't engage with them, okay? Don't engage with them. Be smart, okay? Be smart about this. Because I think I speak on behalf of every father of college girls. They are not interested in high school guys, okay? And again, another may hurt your feelings. You may think, she just needs to give me a chance. Guys, she's not going to. Okay, if you had a pre-existing relationship with her through church or school or whatever, maybe there's a year removed at some point, maybe you got a chance to get together, right? Maybe. But I hate to kind of burst your bubble, but the guys in college got a lot more going for them, okay? They got their own place. More times than not, they got their own vehicle. They got their own money. There's a lot more they can offer, okay? So again, if it seems too good to be true, it is false. In addition to that too, again, just think about where you are and who you are, right? And listen, there's so much out there on the internet and on social media these days that kind of gasses people up. I mean, it's like, one of the things that confuses me is you have people that cross your timeline, not even people that you follow, people that promote their own content. And like one picture is like, a lady, dressed all prim and proper, taking her kids to church. And then the next thing is her basically naked. And I'll be honest with you, folks, that's confusing to me. It is. I'm not saying that church folks can't, wear bikinis, but it's kind of interesting that, we post scripture one day and a thirst trap the next. I don't know what kind of girls these are, but the reality of it is, this is a very important issue. And again, I firmly believe that our young people of the day are probably the most sexualized generation that has ever existed, because so much is available to them that wasn't available to us. Much completely different dynamic. And so it's going to require, I think, the adults to kind of normalize, hey, this may happen to you, and it may be a very uncomfortable conversation for you. We talked about years ago, you had to have, quote, the talk, Nowadays, parents have to have multiple talks because things continue to change. There are more threats these days to try to victimize children than ever before, right? You'd think with all this technology, we have to be able to track our children and things like that, make sure they're safe, and we can communicate with them, we can FaceTime with them, we can track their location, all that good stuff. When Ian went to the governor's ball in New York, on his own dime, and I was so happy that he went, right? But there's that part of me, I'm like, hey, make sure you're sharing your location with everybody in the family. Even though we couldn't get to him right away, it just made me feel better to be able to see that, right? And so, of course, he gets back to start when he stops sharing his location with me. And that's completely fine. I want my kids to have privacy. But the reality of it is there are a lot of people, even with the advancements of technology, have found a way to be even more evil. And so there's got to be some safeguards, and the biggest part of that is communication from the adults. Look, here's the risk, and I would take that story and I would insist that everybody read it. And we do a lot of things in sports journalism that are very fun. We do some very good human interest stories. Like just yesterday, I interviewed Stephen Schock about Brian O'Connor. It's a lot of fun. It was. O'Connor got a kick out of it too, you know? I mean, that stuff's fun. But this journalism that Dan Wetzel did probably should win him the Pulitzer Prize. It should. But that's not why you do it. You do it to save lives. You do it to prevent the embarrassment and humiliation. And I think if memory serves me correct, according to the FBI, there's been like 65,000 incidents of this. This may have already happened to your child. And maybe they were smart enough not to respond, you know. And that was one of the things that this account had a bunch of followers and was following a bunch of people. So this is something that's kind of been in play for a while. And how many times do you see it, right? I mean, you'll be all of a sudden one of your friends gets hacked and they change a picture or something. I wish I could video chat with you guys right now and I'd show you how many of these people like message me on Twitter through DM. And I'm looking at it right now. And there's probably, I used to go delete these and I just finally just stopped checking. I would go watch, I would have to keep up with it because sometimes a recruiter, somebody that maybe I don't follow would send me something. And even though I've tried to make my DMs much easier to find, but there are hundreds, and I mean hundreds of these messages. It's like, hey, where are you from? And it's some girl in her underwear. Hello, can you chat with me? Hey, I think you're really handsome. Can we be friends? You know, there's a bunch of that. And, you know, I'm smart enough to understand where all that comes from. But when you're 16, 17 years old, and you're inexperienced, even though you probably know a lot about the internet, you know, if some girl sends you a picture, it's provocative. You know, how many of us at 16 would turn that down? I would say very few. So I encourage you, find the article and have this conversation, even if it makes you a little bit uncomfortable. Because I can assure you, you'd rather be a little bit uncomfortable than to have your child go through something like this and potentially end with tragic consequences. That's the thing to me that is just so incredibly unbelievable, is that these people are out there prying upon our teenagers and they don't feel like they have anywhere to turn. And you know what? If I was 16 years of age, and full confession here, I won't give you the girl's name. There was a girl that I was dating, and I sent her a letter that had some provocative language in it, and she kept it, and she would read it occasionally. We were a thing. And then somebody stole the letter from her in class and read it and then tried to stress me about it, said, I'm going to go turn this in to the principal. I'm going to give this to so-and-so. And it's terrifying, right? It's a very natural feelings for a very real person, right? But it was terrorizing. I mean, you think, oh, my gosh. Am I going to get suspended? How do I explain this to my parents, right? And that's nowhere near this, right? Nowhere near this level. So that level of anxiety, I can't even comprehend. I can't even comprehend it. And again, this is, you know, a letter. We used to write letters, so we didn't text back then. So we had to put things in written form and wrote her a letter. Again, it was a little bit spicy. And we were a couple, right? But I shared that with you because I have made similar mistakes at a similar age. And I know many of you are the same way. And nowadays, you make these kinds of mistakes, you never know who's going to keep it as a receipt on their phone, right? And just wait for the right moment to try to embarrass you again. And I can't begin to imagine, you know, living with that, knowing that at any moment, like even when you think you have it behind you, that somebody else, you know, these people will have these pictures of you forever, no matter what they tell you, right? And they'll share them with friends. And, you know, you got to be careful with all that stuff because you never know who's going to end up with them. But the best way to ensure chain of custody is to never send those pictures to anybody, right? Simple as that. And I guess if you absolutely have to, make sure you protect your face and all your identifying characteristics as best you can. But I do not promote any of that. I think that is just so incredibly risky behavior. And as we've seen in this situation and a situation here in Starkville, tragic consequences. So again, I wanted to dedicate some time to talk about that. Also, too, since we've been together, brand new single from Bad Omens called Spectre, and it is a very dark but very beautiful song. I think you'll enjoy that. Be sure and check it out. Got a chance to meet a Boneyard listener at the spa the other day, Summer. I won't say your name or where you're from. So nice to meet you, and so glad you're enjoying the float spa and floating. And my wife, she's great. And glad you guys have kind of hit it off, and I'm glad that you continue to come back and be a customer of ours. Summer has found great benefit in floating. And told me, I wouldn't have even known about it if I hadn't heard about it on your show. Well, here we are, telling you again about it. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. Even when she's not there, she answers the phone. And she can answer any questions you may have. So if you're a person that just needs a break, maybe a mental reset, or maybe you suffer with chronic pain or anxiety, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others, and it's busy all the time now. It is, and thank you guys so much for your support. And we have four pods, and all the floats start at the same time. We want to be very, very protective of your serenity in that respect. But come out and be a part of that. True Rest Float Spa Starkville. You can follow us on TikTok and Instagram, Facebook. I encourage you to do so. They do a great job on the social media side, for sure. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. You get 50% off the annual subscription rate. As I mentioned, once you're a full paid member in 2026, you'll be able to use your Paramount Plus login and be able to watch UFC for free. How about that? Just about being a subscriber to JeansPage. A lot of benefits in being a subscriber to jeanspage.com, in addition to our quality content. If you haven't done so, go to dudynoublebook.com. You can get signed copies of all my sports titles there, including The Dude, now 41 weeks on the Mississippi bestseller list. Pretty cool. Thank you for that. But Flim Flam, Alpha Dog, Stark Villains, Dog Pile. Every Bulldog needs a copy of Dog Pile. And When the Bottom Falls, of course, my personal memoir about my life in recovery, what it took to get sober, what it's taken to stay sober, and hopefully what it takes to die sober. Yeah, that's part of the goal, right? Listen, I love each and every one of you, and I know sometimes we deal with some heavy stuff on this show in addition to Mississippi State sports. So thanks for indulging me, but I don't bring these things up because they're trivial. They're important things to me and to others. And reminder, I'll remind you guys later in the week, Friday night, Howlin' Mal's, doors at 6, show at 7. We're going to support our boys in Storage 24. I encourage you to come out. And again, it is a benefit show to help the Mississippi Coalition Against Domestic Violence in our state, which is a very worthy cause. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.